begin the second part of our study tonight, I want to talk about baptism, something that we all know about and we understand what it is. But you know what? There's a lot of difficulty in understanding baptism. Maybe not within the Church of Christ, but within the world around about us, of many people who believe that they are Christians and they're doing what God's will is, they have a basic misunderstanding of what baptism is. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about. And that's awful small, so hopefully you can all read it. I apologize for that. But one thing, let's look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And there, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, talks about unity and oneness of the gospel, oneness of what we're supposed to believe in. And let's look at the first 6 verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we're all supposed to keep this unity of the Spirit in a peaceful bond of understanding what God would have us to understand about His will. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you is called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So we have this oneness there that's talked about. Only one baptism. Then why do we have such difficulty with what that one baptism is? If you get a chance to look in a good encyclopedia, I have the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia at home. Take a guess, think in your mind, of how many pages in that book is dedicated to defining baptism. It's 19 pages. So we try to understand why is there difficulty. Well, it took 19 pages to say in that book what baptism is. Now, in that, it talks about different groups, what they perceive to be baptism is in those 19 pages. But that's an awful lot. But what I want to do tonight is let's see if the Scriptures can tell us what baptism is without using some other book and see if we can understand it that way. But first, let's break it down into a couple pieces. We want to look at the physical act, and I'm going to give Scriptures for the physical act. But the first group there, the physical act, we're going to look at 3 different concepts: sprinkling and pouring and immersion. And the reason why I picked these, because these are the 3 most common that people believe about baptism. There are many groups out there that believe that they can sprinkle somebody and that they're baptized, or they can just pour some water over them and they're baptized. I could not find any scriptural references that back that up anywhere at all in the Bible. So I don't have any listed there. If anyone can find them for me, I would sure be glad to use them. Again, we're going to look at what the Bible says now about immersion, because I believe the Bible does talk about that. In fact, I have a book in my library, Weiss's Literal Translation of the Bible, and where it says baptism, it says immersion, which gives you a better idea that it's not just sprinkling or pouring, it's something that you're immersed into. But let's look at a couple passages that we have here. First, let's look over at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. There it says that we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So here in Colossians 2, it's the idea that we're buried. When you're sprinkled or poured, you're not buried, you're just getting wet. If you're immersed, you're completely covered. You're buried in that water, and then you're raised out of it. Over in, also in Romans chapter 6, Paul there, again speaking to the Romans, he gives the very same analogy about being buried. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 there. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So here again, the idea of being buried, completely immersed or covered over, in is what the Bible is giving us as for what baptism is. But I think we can also look a little bit more and see what and take a little couple other passages that I didn't put on here, but get the same idea. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here we have an Old Testament reference that Paul is going to give to us about baptism. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You understand he's taken them back there to when they left Egypt and they went through the Red Sea. They had passed through the sea. They had a wall of water on both sides of them. And it says they were under the cloud. That cloud, if you go back and look in Exodus when they went through the Red Sea, a cloud covered them to mark their way, but they were covered with a cloud. The next verse, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. And then the next verse says that it talks about that what they were doing was following that rock, and that rock is Christ. So here, this Old Testament example shows these people were completely surrounded by water, a cloud and the sea. And it was called baptism to them, a complete immersion that way. But to give it a little more, let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. And here we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, it happened that the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling back home, and he was traveling by a way going through a southern part of Israel today, or Gaza, we'd probably look at on a map today and see where he was going. Area that is a very semi-arid climate. It's a desert-type climate over there, even though it's fruitful. There's many places that are very desert in that area. So they're going along, and Philip has been preaching to him, talking to him, after the Ethiopian invited him to explain to him the scriptures. And let's look at verses 38 and 39. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. So why, if sprinkling or pouring, which is a concept today that a lot of people who claim to be Christians believe is baptism, could not Philip just sprinkle some water or pour some water that the Ethiopian eunuch, I'm sure, had for drinking with him and consider he was baptized? No, they had to wait till they came to some water where there was enough water that both men could get into that water. And there, Philip baptized him. So I think the scriptures can tell us that the physical act of baptism is a burial. It's an immersion in water. And it's not a sprinkling or a pouring over of water, but a complete immersion. Next, the purpose. There are many people who have different ideas about the purpose of baptism. Some think the purpose is, well, that's how you enter into the fellowship. Some believe, well, that's how you show you've accepted Jesus, is when you're baptized. What does the scriptures teach about it? The scriptures teach about that it's salvation and the remission of sins is what baptism is for. Again, for those first two items, I could not find any scriptures that based on that premise. And if you want, I can go through and we can talk at a later time about which groups of people actually believe these things, because they're out there and they're not that difficult to find of what the purpose is and what they believe. But the Bible, I think, will answer the question of what baptism is for. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's salvation. That's what baptism is for. It's for salvation. But to expand on that salvation, if we can look at the scriptures, and for brevity of time, don't have time to go through all of them to show that nothing unclean, nothing with sin can enter into the kingdom of heaven or into salvation Well, we have to understand that being saved, there's more to it. And in Acts 2:38, the first sermon that was preached of the gospel, preached to the Jews there, Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. So part of salvation is that remission of sins. When we're baptized, our sins are washed away. We can also look over in 1 Peter 3:21, and it says there that baptism is an answer of a good conscience toward God. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that we're obeying what God would have us do. Think back, if you will, when the Son of God, Jesus, was baptized by John in the River Jordan. There was much water. Again, a place where immersion could take place. But when Jesus was baptized, he had no sins to be remitted. But what happens when he comes up out of the water? If you remember we're told that the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was, I think, showing us what 1 Peter 3:21 means when we have an answer of a good conscience toward God. We're doing what God would have us to do in that. So the purpose of baptism is for salvation, the remission of our sins. And we can see that by the Scriptures. We don't have to go ask somebody what it's for. The Scriptures tell us. So wonderful, this book that God has given to us explains what He wants us to do. The next thing is who. Who needs to be baptized? Real quickly, in their old law, God had a people that He had called. He had called Abraham and made of him a nation. And that people was given a law, the law of Moses. And how did a person get into that law and a covenant relationship with God? Got into it by birth. He didn't have to study, but as soon as he was born, that infant was a Jew. He was a child of God. Now, whether he stayed a child of God, that's another story that we don't have time to get into. If he committed sin and departed, you know, God took away the whole nation of Israel and put it into captivity. But the idea is that a person was born into that relationship. So today, we have different people that say, well, infants need to be baptized. So they sprinkle them or they pour water on them. But an infant can't believe. And I can't find any scripture references where any infants were baptized. Again, people believe children need to be baptized. Now, when I say children here, I'm talking about those who do not understand. And then there are others, and I can't put them together, unbelievers. There are people I know who they just try to get anybody and everybody buried under the water of baptism. Whether they understand the Scriptures or not, understand what they're doing or not, they'll try to baptize them. Well, that's not what the Scriptures teach either. I cannot find that anywhere in the Scriptures either. But I do find in the Scriptures where it talks about believers. Again, Mark 16:16 that we've already talked about. He that believeth. That means you have to make a conscious decision. You have to think about it, what baptism is, and you have to believe. And then in Acts 8:37, I think there with the Ethiopian eunuch again, we can look at that and we can see what he said in his belief. Because Philip asked him, if we back up to verse 36 and 37, "And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" So he's asking this question about being baptized. "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.'" So there's a condition here. The Ethiopian eunuch has to believe. And what does the Ethiopian eunuch say to us here? He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And I think in that statement that he's making, he's believing everything that's been taught about Jesus Christ. Because if we look over in Romans chapter 10, along with that confession, it says, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but we also believe that he raised him from the dead. That is key to our belief in all about Jesus. We can't just believe that Jesus was a man who came to this earth and lived a good life and then died, and that was it. Because our faith would be vain, as Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have to believe that God raised His Son from the dead and that He is living now in heaven on His throne over us being the head of the church. So we see these things here about what baptism is. And we can look at other passages. We can look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Like I said, we can look at Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, where talking about the people there in Samaria, when they heard the word, how they believed and were baptized. The bottom line is, the person has to be a believer. And this was even prophesied back in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. Jeremiah the prophet says that, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord." This is what they had to do to their children as they were growing up, because they were already Jews and had to teach them this. But what he says is, "For they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So there in Jeremiah, the prophet says, there's going to come a time when these people are going to believe when they become children of God. And he says their sins will be forgiven and their iniquity will be remembered no more. We need to think about this. A lot of times we see different things out in the world around us. We can't just dismiss them because they have to do with our forgiveness of sins. They have to do with our salvation. They have to do with us obeying God. Baptism should be a very simple subject to understand. I think the Bible tells us what it is. We do not have to go back and look at the Greek words, which actually would explain to us that it is a dipping or an immersion into water. We don't have to do that because we can look, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can see that baptism is an immersion in water. We can see that baptism is for salvation and the remission of sins. Plain and simple. No big mystery about it. We can also see that those who are baptized have to be believers. It's not somebody who doesn't believe. It's not somebody who's an infant or a child, but someone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and everything that that entails and involves can be baptized. And when they are baptized, then they can raise up as a new creature, as we already read, and walk a new life.